What's up, beautiful people, and welcome to Inside Out Empowerment, where we are examining the science of personal excellence through the very real experience of today's most powerful thinkers, professional athletes, and the world's greatest entrepreneurs. We learn the mechanisms for designing the life and the results of our dreams, starting from the inside out. I'm entrepreneur Joshua Nussbaum and your host. Just watch me now.
You put 225 on, but really you put 245 on, and he gets it the same amount of times as he got 225. It's placebo effect.
Yeah, or like when you are tricking somebody and like you tell someone you're putting on 225 and you actually put on like 295, and then they pick it up and just like injure the fuck out of themselves.
Or that, yeah, that I don't know that I would go that far with the placebo effect.
But where I get it's placebo effect. Why don't you just put 405 on the bar?
Because the brain has to believe it, that it's real. You know, when they pick up 405, they're not going to think it's 225. Not, surely not. I don't know.
Yeah, when you're like, hey, dude, just close your eyes. I'm going to put 225 on the bar, and then you just absolutely fucking destroy their life. We're like, okay, note to self. Damon really believes in this mind over matter shit. Potentially.
Yeah, sure, dude. That's right.
Potentially too aggressively.
That's right. Fuck it. Just grab hold of it and just know that it's going to happen. No questions asked.
Plot twist. It's actually Natalie Dirksen benching. And she's like, I don't know that I can do 225. You're like, you got this, babe, with 405 on the bar. Do what? Under no circumstance should you do that. But in the event that you did, it should definitely be filmed.
No. Oh, and it would for sure be filmed. I mean, hey, you know me, I'm not going to do anything in a gym, you know, and not film it.
Bro, you actually are absolutely fantastic with swinging at the viral videos. And when I say swinging, anybody that's listening should absolutely go scope the video with Damon Griffith playing Fruit Ninja in real life with a motherfucking samurai sword. What did you have?
Yeah,
it was a real sword, right?
Well, see, I found it. And then I thought to myself, fuck, it looks like I'm playing some Fruit Ninja today.
And who is throwing you the fruit?
Oh, Natalie.
So what did you slice? You had like a melon. Yeah, you had a fucking watermelon. Did you slice watermelon?
Yeah. We did the watermelon, and after I sliced it, it fell and hit my Kobe's, which is when the video slowed down, and I was like, because it got all over my shoes. I did some bananas. I did honestly, the other fruits I did, Natalie bought them for me, and to be real with you, I don't know what they were called.
you're great with aesthetics and great with Instagram. I think fruit classification isn't on your resume for a reason. And honestly, dude, you're just fucking chopping it up. Like, who needs to know what the fuck these like obscurely shaped, weird looking things are?
They weren't fruits. I'll tell you all this for anybody listening, for my clients. They weren't fruits, obviously, if I don't know the names of them, that I recommend y'all to eat on y'all's diet. So if that makes y'all feel better, they're fruits. If I'm not familiar with it, guys, I don't tell you to eat it. So there you go.
Good. Yeah. Needless to say, you're not giving Fruit Ninja lessons.
Not at all. Never going to do that. But I'm going to make a part two eventually.
How did the video do? How many views did it get?
Man, I want to say it got like 50 or 60,000. It did pretty decent and got quite a few comments, obviously.
Yeah, that was funny as shit. And I respect the fuck out of the fact that you take risks with your stuff. Like, that's the exact type of like creativity I think people should be trying more of. Cause I don't care how hard you lock down that top slot professionally or with Instagram or financially or socially or whatever it is. Dude, if you're fucking like king of the mountain, the only fucking way you stay king of the mountain is by evolving into what the fuck is happening next. So like, if you have that phenomena when you see someone like quote unquote blow up, right? Or they're like right spot, right time, right look, doing, you know, the right type of fucking posting, and you know, their availability is the right time of day when they're supposed to be posting, and just like weird sequence of events, they end up doing really great. If they don't develop the fucking muscle of like experimenting with how to be good next or how to continue to fucking win, then that winning is very temporary.
People's attention spans can be pretty short. So they see you doing one thing and that catches their attention for a while, but you've got to be evolving and keeping people's interest because people want different. They just don't want the same thing as everybody else every day.
Yeah. So how is your page, just out of curiosity? You have like, what, 333,000 followers last time I checked? You know, you're up in the 300 range.
Yes.
How have you shifted what you're doing to stay relevant, not just like to the audience, but like Instagram is a sensitive beast to, you know, what you can and can't pull off, both good content wise and obviously like algorithmically what it rewards you for. So how have you shifted the things that you're doing now versus what you have done in the past?
Yeah, well, so my Instagram has kind of shifted, and the perfect word to use actually is, like you said, evolved as Instagram has evolved. When I first started, you know, it was just pictures of myself, just pretty much at the gym, always working out or whatever. And there was no videos available at the time, you know, and so it was mainly just posting and trying to post a little informative, you know, content here and there for people to, you know, say, hey, go look at this guy's page if you want to, you know, see some good information about, you know, protein or whatever. And then, you know, as Instagram shifted into having videos, at first they were super short and they've gotten longer, thank God. But as it shifted into having videos.
That's what she said.
Yeah, yeah. So as it shifted into having videos, I started to pick up on the fact that people, they really like that informative side. You know, as much as people want to be entertained, they also, if you can slide some knowledge in there, that is even better for them because they're being entertained and they're actually learning something they can take and they can apply it to their life. So that's when I kind of started doing the workout videos all the time. And they usually do well because people, you know, will tag their friends and things and try to get other people, you know, kind of spread the knowledge to learn what people are doing. And then and now the newest thing on Instagram that, if you haven't picked it up yet, listening to this, is the swipe over, posting videos, you know, like 4 or 5 or 6 or 8 videos in one post. And I'll put things like, you know, a full chest day. And so that's kind of where Instagram is going now as it's evolved. You know, at first people were just wanting one workout per video, you know, now they like it better when you have multiple slides and they can watch your whole chest workout right there on Instagram, swipe through it. And that's kind of where we're at currently with the algorithm on there.
Gotcha. Have you been eating dick along with like 99% of the other pages that were big that had to like massively hustle to reinvent what they were posting and doing? Or were you able to adapt pretty quick to Instagram's like 6 fucking algorithm updates over the last like year and a half?
A little bit. You know, you can actually, you can scroll through the page obviously and see times where it was like, you know, that wasn't that good. Then 10 times as many like on a picture that's almost just the same. But I was able, fortunately, to adapt pretty quick. I mean, social media is, you know, basically what I do for a living. So it's kind of like, you know, sink or swim. You have to adapt to pay the bills. So, I mean, and that's exactly what I try to do and intend to keep doing.
Yeah. Staying good at your craft. What did you do before social?
Well, before social media, I mean, I started my Instagram in 2014. And before that, I was, you know, I graduated high school in 2010. I did 3.5 years at just a junior college close to where I live here in East Texas. And really, the whole time I went to college, I just basically worked for my dad. He owns a couple of companies, and we did cattle ranching. So I worked a lot of Black Brendas cattle. And spent a lot of time at the ranch with him after class and stuff. And then while I was doing that for a couple of years, then of course Instagram, you know, was up and coming. So I joined it, and then I started to see the window of opportunity in making money through social media, and even more so having a digital product where you don't really have any overhead, but everything you turn is a profit. So I started taking the money that I earned, you know, working at the ranch and stuff with my dad, and putting aside a certain amount every week and investing that into advertisements on Instagram. And I used that to slowly transition over from, you know, having to do so much physical labor to being able to really hit my, number one, my passion is fitness, but then also really hit that niche of being able to sell a digital product, like I said, and just, you know, turn more profit because you don't have that overhead there like most startups do.
What is the digital product? The training?
The coaching, yes. The online coaching is what I initially got started with, and it's what I did for years was just the coaching. Had a couple of supplement sponsors here and there that were, everybody I've worked with has been fantastic. I always have left companies on good terms. I don't have any, you know, enemies per se in the fitness industry. And yeah, so I mean, but the online coaching was the digital product, and it is definitely been super rewarding, you know, both, you know, being blessed financially with it, as well as having so much of a rewarding job to where you get to see these people and change these people's lives. And they get super excited when they drop the weight or when they add the muscle, because maybe they have been overweight their whole life, or they've been, you know, skinny their whole life and they wanted to not be. And you get to see these people change and get excited about it. So I really just got lucky, like you said, being kind of in the right place at the right time in the time of the world, because I was up and coming right when Instagram was up and coming and right when everything became digital. And it's just, it's fitted perfectly with what I love doing every day.
Let me tell you something, homeboy, we are all in the right place. Every one of us is in the right place at the right time. It's just a matter of what the fuck we're doing about it. We have so many motherfucking opportunities around us. Like, it's sickening. And I can't tell you how many times somebody is buying their own fucking story about the reasons like they can't, or they don't know what to do. And I'm not even talking about like negative people. I just mean like they have like this limited version, or they're stuck in the, you know, how to, or the what, instead of just like, as soon as they shift like what they're worth or what is possible without necessarily knowing the mechanical steps, the amount of fucking opportunities they see all around them jumping out of the fucking bushes onto their head like a fucking spider monkey is outrageous. When I heard your story, and we met, I'll walk into who the fuck I'm talking to and what we're doing right now in a second. But when we met for the first time, you know, and even right now, what you're saying, I'm hearing a fucking guy that like, not was in the right place at the right time, but like when there was an opportunity, fucking hit it hard. Was like, oh, okay, I don't want to just like dabble at this thing. It's like, I want to try really hard at this thing and grow the fuck out of it. I'm hearing a guy that like knows how to capitalize, and you like how to capitalize, and you like took the time and the space and the energy, probably back when shout outs actually made you grow like a motherfucker, you know, considering you started in 2014, if you're paying for Instagram advertisements and you're growing, you're like, let me actually take a run at this, not just have an Instagram. You know what I mean?
Right. You had, yeah, I completely wanted to go into it with 110% effort. I didn't want to just be okay at it, or just mediocre at it, or, you know, middle of the road. I saw a real opportunity, and I'm going to capitalize on the opportunity to the absolute best of my ability. Just like I try to do with anything that I do, when I do work for sponsors, or, you know, taking this podcast with you or whatever it is, I try to go in with every bit of the effort that I have to give, because if you're not going to give your best at something, I don't know why even do it, you know?
Yeah. I don't know, because people are okay with not giving their best at shit. I don't know. Or they have think they have to do it. I don't know. People have a lot of fucking reasons for half-assing shit, most of which are going to give them a whole hell of a lot less than if they put in, you know, 8% more fucking effort into making it awesome. And speaking of effort, have you always been jacked as fuck, or is this something you developed after Instagram?
No, I started working out when I was 14, and I did.
I started working out 7 months ago.
No. Yeah, no, I'll be 27 on the 21st of this month. So I've been working out for, you know, since I was 13, like I said, so almost 13 years. And I joined a gym for my 14th birthday. It's one of the things my dad got me for my birthday, because I
awesome. Right,
something I wanted. Yeah, and he used to do some powerlifting and stuff back in his day. So he got in there with me and taught me, you know, a ton of what I know. And yeah, I've been working out ever since. I did have good genetics though. I did have good muscle tone and stuff when I started. So, I mean, to answer your question, yeah, technically, I mean, I have always had, you know, more muscle than the average person. And that was also another thing that I noticed at a young age. And of course I had seen, like everybody that's ever touched a weight, I had seen pictures of Arnold and stuff like that. And I saw, you know, the opportunity to make something out of it with my body and work on it like a work of art. And so that's the direction that I took.
Oh, by the way, everybody, I'm talking to Damon Griffith, also his Instagram handle, Damon Griffith. Are there any dots or underscores in there?
Yes.
What is it? What's your Instagram handle?
No, just DamenGriffith, just Damon Griffith.
And dude, Damon's a motherfucking rock star. We met, where was it? Olympia? Yeah, we met at Olympia this year. What do you weigh?
About 240 right now at the body fat and everything that you saw me at the Olympia.
Dude, yeah, he looks fucking, he's one of those guys you like walk around and you're like, holy shit, like that guy's not real life. It's like something they fucking feed you down in the South or something, I swear to God.
We eat children.
No.
No, man, it's all that steak. It's all that red meat.
Ah, okay. Yeah, you know what? Actually, when I bulk really easily when I'm fucking eating steak. All these fucking fit people are like all about the chicken, dude. I'm about that fucking red meat.
Dude, me too, man. You put a good filet or something in front of me or a ribeye. Oh, man. Give me the gains and get out of the way.
Yeah, Caden wouldn't approve with his new vegan with our new vegan line. It's probably not fantastic for marketing to say how much I like red meat, but like, dude, I struggle holding fucking weight on, and red meat is like one of the secrets. Red meat and fucking ice cream are like the two ways I can fucking intake calories and actually hold my own.
Yeah, man, ice cream is where it's at. I like to get a big thing of Dutch chocolate ice cream, and then I pour whole white milk over the top of it, and it freezes the milk, and then you eat it. And that's how you can really get those calories down on cheat day.
Do you gain and then cut, or do you stay like a consistent body type the entire year?
So now I'm pretty much staying a consistent body type. In the past, I've basically mostly bulked for most of my working out career since I was 2014, because I was a naturally very lean, more of like a leaner, skinny, muscular type. So it is definitely more challenging for me to put on mass than it is for me to lose body fat. So my whole life, I've kind of ate calorie heavy, carb heavy, and then I've of course cut for photo shoots, et cetera, but now, like I said, I'm 5'11", I'm 240 pounds, and I'm probably about 6.5 or 7% body fat right now. And I really am just going to stay here unless I need to drop down for another shoot or something, or if I compete again in the Super League or something like that.
Yeah, you're a pro, aren't you?
I am. Yeah, I'm a founding athlete and a Super League pro.
Damon. 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 My employees have the instruction whenever I start cheering somebody's name, which I'll do super fucking inappropriately and arbitrarily, like in a discussion that's not meant to like have somebody cheering their name, that they, if they hear a name chant, they have to chime in. You know what I mean? So like, we'll be on the phone with the lender and I'll be like, Greg, 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 you know, like the whole office will be cheering, you know, for Greg.
That's awesome, bro.
So dude, speaking of the office, homeboy, and by the way, dude, you guys need to fucking look at what this guy looks like. Go to Damon Griffith. Two things. Number one, he looks like a motherfucking animal. I mean, I don't know if you like can picture in your head what like 240 something at 6% looks like, but he's massively impressive. And his girlfriend's hot as fuck too, and an awesome goddamn human being. I think, dude, how did the beginning of our interaction go? I think I was sitting like in the back of our booth.
Well, she actually ran into you first. Somebody was talking to me back behind the booth, and I turned around to find her, and you were sitting there, and then you introduced yourself, or I introduced myself, and you said, hey, well, why don't you sit down and, you know, we'll chat or whatever. Yeah. While she was talking to Liz.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or something. No. So I turned around. I'm like, oh, you look like something special. She was like talking to like one of our athletes who was like giving her a hard time. And I was like fucking exhausted. I was going like person. And I like stepped back like away from the front of the booth and you guys were actually behind us.
Yes.
And I told her to like come around. I'm like, come kneel, like squat for a second, like visit. Who are you? What are you up to? What are you trying to like make happen in your world? And we like clicked in like 2 seconds. And then you came around and you were already friends with Caden, right? Is that who you go back with? Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Me and Caden. Yeah. We're on Built Apparel together. And then we just go back as friends, you know, years. Been to a couple of expos together. Man, he's great.
Yeah. And Natalie's like cool as shit. And that's the type of human being that I aim for with our team are not just like the Instagram people that are hot, but the people that like look the part, are working their ass off. And then on top of it are actually really human beings that are like genuine humans that like make eye contact and are good at listening and like legitimately want more for themselves and aren't just opportunistic, random, hot Insta hoes, you know?
Yeah, man, you need to, that's the Texas in us.
That is the Texas. Dude, I swear to God, I used to always say, I'm going to go to the coasts to find the girls I'm dating and I'm going to go to the South to find the girl I'm going to marry. And actually didn't happen, but Liz originally was from Nashville, which I think is close enough.
No, yeah, that's definitely South.
You know, she's bounced around all over, but like I get along really well with people from the South, even though like obviously our speeds, you and I, we run a little bit differently, but connect beautifully. So I told you to come over and like, dude, how long did we talk for? Like the first fucking time we spoke, it was just kind of one of the...
Man, it was at least like an hour and a half that we sat there, just a whole in one block. And then I left and had to go see, you know, some other people and teammates and sponsors. And I came back and I want to say, I think I talked to you another at least 30 or 45 minutes there. And then we hung out again that night and talked the entire night.
Dude, that's at fucking Olympia, guys. I don't know if you guys have ever gone, but like the impact, like it's like boom, 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 boom. And you're like fucking, I mean, we probably had 431 interruptions like during the time that we were like chilling and talking, but like to sit and like chill with someone for that length of time is like pretty fucking outrageous. But I don't know, man, like when somebody has the ability to listen, I feel very much like I've accomplished like 8% of what I want to accomplish. And when I see someone who is like as gangster and clearly disciplined and like you have figured some things out in your fucking world, being as hungry and listening as intently and wanting so much fucking more than what you've accomplished, I'm like, I'm going to take the time to fucking develop this a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Like 100%.
When someone's not telling you how fucking dope they are because they're hungry to be so much more dope and they have already accomplished so much, I'm like, dude, I can relate to that mindset like a motherfucker.
I feel like, you know, you say you feel that way about me when we have conversations, and yet that's the exact same way I look back at you. You know, somebody that has accomplished so much, you know, in life, in business, you know, et cetera, yet me and you have talked about goals and talked about things. And I mean, you know, just like with your vegan line coming out or whatever, you're always evolving. You're always staying hungry, trying to get the next thing, you know. You're not just a complacent person that's like, well, you know, I got a, you know, made this much money and got these companies going, so I'm just going to sit here and chill. You know, that's not the mentality you have, you know, probably no matter how much you accomplish, because that's not the type of people that we are. We're always hungry. And that, I think, is what puts us on such a good level to connect with our thoughts and the way that we look at life and business and people.
Speaking of the way we look at life and business and people, I asked Liz, I'm like, yo, so Damon, because you call and you just like ask me random shit. I like our relationship a lot. You call and you're like, I was having this random fucking thought and I don't really know. And what are your thoughts on blah, blah, blah? Or how can I be valuable to blah, blah, blah? And I'm like, dude, that's like so my fucking style of guy. I think I've complimented like when I ask you a question and you're like, I don't know. How could I do that? And I'm like, motherfucker, I'm asking you. But my thoughts are, you know, I'm like, it's cool. It's totally, you know, it's cool to like not know and be like, you answer that. And I'm like, okay, here's my answer. It's smart. It's way the fuck better than someone being like, this is how I can be valuable and this is what you need from me. You being like, where do you need value? Like, dude, So my first real job was selling cars. And I did that in college when I was like 19 years old. And I used to have to, this is like a whole different story, but like I ended up working bell to bell. It's called belling. When you like the car dealership opens at 7 and it closes when the last customer leaves, which is like 10:30 or 11 at night. Any day I didn't have class, which was like the first semester I worked there, I stacked all of my classes on Tuesday, Thursday in college. So I worked Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And I used to bell, you know, first in the morning, last at night to leave. And when I was like smashing the other sales guys that knew way more about car sales, like I didn't even know how to fill out the tickets properly. The manager and the owner of the car dealership started having me like try to teach the other guys when I was moved to closer instead of just like the guy that like takes the, instead of being the salesperson that just takes them on like the test drives and like warms them up to close. I was the guy that like sat down and got the yes out of them for the deal when the sales guy couldn't get it. You're responsible for like talking to the sales guys about like the way you want things set up and try to make them better salespeople. And you can imagine like, you know, I'm a closer and I'm 19 and I have a bunch of sales guys below me who are like 48 and like 31 and have been in the car industry for fucking 14 years or 20 years or 30 years or whatever the fuck. Like they hated my guts, you know? And like I'm having one of my like weekly sales meetings at fucking 19 with not only like no car dealership experience, but no fucking like business experience or like leadership experience, like nothing. And I'm like having to talk to these guys who fucking hated, like resented every part of me and like wouldn't, like just despised my existence to try to get them to be able to sell cars better. Right. And like, it's just a funny dynamic looking back on it. And I ended up being like the finance manager of like three car dealerships by the time I was 20. Needless to say, I didn't stay in like the sales section of it, but the first thing I said on the very first approach with the guys is I'm like, dude, and everyone's stats are like up on a board that's like, I don't know, 30 feet tall, right? So when you sell a car, it like they record it and like put it up on the board so everyone can see how much everyone is selling. And I'm like, dude, the reason my numbers are like, I don't know, double or triple or quadruple, number 2, 3, and 4 together isn't because I'm saying stuff that sells the car super well. It's because I'm doing
asking
exactly fucking right. I'm like, the same exact reason you guys are not going to benefit from what I'm saying right now is the same exact fucking reason I'm smashing you in sales. It's your ability to fucking listen. The owner used to do this thing of like, sell me this pen. You know, and like people are like going into like, oh, this is a Mont Blanc or this is a da da da, or I'm selling you a lifestyle, not selling you a whatever.
No. You ask them questions that lead them to the conclusion that they need a pen.
Yeah. Or they might not be in the market for a pen at all. And then you might start talking or guide them to create the fucking demand. But like, dude, when he asked me, like, when he said, sell me this pen, I would ask him, what kind of pen are you in the market for? Sell me this pen. Well, what kind of pen are you in the market for? I want to make sure that this pen is right for you. Or it might not be the right pen. I might not know that I want to sell you that pen. Have you ever had a pen that you've liked before? And they will fucking like spoon feed you their hot button terms. Do you know what I'm saying? You know, someone comes onto a car lot and you find out like, okay, what kind of car are you looking for? They might not be committed to the fact that they want to be buying a car. You know what I'm saying? So I would start with, what do you drive in now? You know what I'm saying? Cool. What kind of car are you in right now? What do you like about
it? Exactly right. You have to listen.
I'm bored. I'm not doing anything else right now. Like, look around. You want to shoot the shit? You want to hang for a second? Like, create the permission. Make them, you know what I mean? Make them want to communicate with you. And when they want to communicate with you, ask to be like, dude, if you could drive anything in the world, what would it be and why? Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you inspire their buttons.
Yeah, yeah. So you have to listen. Their information and then apply it to what you're going to say. You know, you don't want to go into something just assuming that you know what everyone's thinking, because that's not really a good way to look at something. And that's how those salesmen were looking at it. They were looking at it like they already knew what this person wanted and they're going to sell it to them. That's not it. People don't want to be told what they want. They want you to let them tell you, and then you go the direction that they give you.
Yeah, and you know what? They'll also give you, on top of like what they want, they'll give you how they want, like the terminology to package it in. Like, what kind of car are you in right now? I'm in a blah, blah, blah. Cool. What do you like about it? Honestly, I've been driving it. It's like 300,000 fucking miles, and everything was covered under the warranty up to like 100,000. And I didn't really start having issues with it until recently. And I just, you know, it's something that like, I have so much shit to fucking worry about. I don't want to have to worry about getting, I already spent a lot of money on the car, and I have like my kids and my da da da. I just want to make sure I don't have to worry about having to fix the car. They don't want to have to worry, right? That's like, worrying is a no. That's like the language that they don't want to have to deal with. Dependability. They want to be able to rely on. Obviously, yes, a warranty. You know what I'm saying? I've asked you questions. I complimented you before we even got on this fucking call. Something you do really fucking well is when I ask, a lot of time when I ask you something, you frame it back to me for me to be able to answer for you the thing that I was wondering about. Like, if I'm asking you an interview question, let's just say you were like applying for a job, and this is like completely hypothetical, right? Theoretical. And I'm like, you know, what skills do you have? What are you good at? And you're like, what skills would be the best to be good at for what you need? And then I'm like, you know what I mean? So you like, part of it, people think they don't do that because it's annoying and it's evasive and it doesn't answer the question. But it's also very fucking helpful to not waste time down like routes that I don't need and you don't give a fuck to talk about. You know what I'm saying? Like, you reframe
exactly
that, like, yeah, very succinctly. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, it doesn't bother me. Like, I like it, but I'm like, nobody really, like, many people come to me being like, this is what you need. Or, dude, you know what would be great for your fucking business? You, dude, a Carbolin drink. And I'm just like sitting there like, uh-huh. Because of how many like successful fucking supplement companies you've run? Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, because you know the margin on that, or you know like how much they weigh, so how much that shipping costs?
And the reason that I am that way, I think especially even more so with you, is because, like you said, you have to be able to listen to people. And one of the biggest things that you preach about on, you know, just in our conversations, on your podcast, you know, your other podcasts that you do, you always preach about having a direction and having like an idea or a goal. Or when you ask me a question, I'm not going to waste your time shooting answers in all these other random directions that are not the direction that you're looking to go. That's mm-hmm. why I just want to know the direction that you want. And then, you know, I'll complement it with whatever I have to offer, if anything at all.
I feel you. Tip of the hat to you, sir. It makes you infinitely more like a sniper instead of a machine gun. I mean, we do fucking talk about anything and everything, and our conversations like go on and on, and we go from like funny banter to like really heartfelt, like meaningful truth, you know. But if we're trying to accomplish something, reframing a question back to them, sell me this pen. Well, what kind of pen are you looking for? It's something that I notice in you that I think would be really effective for more people to do.
I agree with that. I think because maybe, and I'm not even just saying like, oh, my method is so great, whatever, but yeah, people can just listen to people better. Or even just when they ask a question, or even just try to ask more questions of people. I feel like so many times employees, or, you know, a student even at school or whatever, will get an assignment, or employees will get something to do, and they'll just say, okay, yes, you know, I'll do that. And if they have questions, they won't even ask them. And then they might go and do the job wrong. And then the employer comes back and they're like, oh yeah, you put that on the wrong side. I needed that over there. And it would have been an easy fix if they would have just asked, like, hey, do you want that on the left or the right? You know, does that make sense?
Yeah. And is also what she said. So I'm going to switch gears real quick, because I had, when you said you wanted to come on the pod, I think within the first conversation we had where we were talking about you coming on the podcast, we got back from Olympia, Liz. I'm like, hey, what would you want to learn from a conversation with Damon and I? And, she's like, you know what? Let me go ask around the office. And so she like took your Instagram and was like showing it to people around the office and was like, hey, you guys know Joshua really well. What would you want to learn if he talked to this guy? And one of the sales guys, he's like fucking actually a really, really talented, badass sales dude. His name's Carlos. He's like, how to be an alpha male, you know?
Yes.
So Liz, and she actually like texted this to me while you and I were talking, gave me a list of things. And she, I guess she, I don't know if she did this or she did this like with the people in the office, but they made a list of shit and we're supposed to rate if that thing is like an alpha or a beta thing. And I haven't reviewed the list, so I don't know. I don't know if they're things or what they are, but the top note says, you and Damon tell us if these are alpha or beta from RevLabs World Headquarters. Let's tackle some of these. All right, here we go. Inside Out Empowerment is written and produced by me, Joshua Nussbaum. When it comes to all things editing, mixing, mastering, I have to give hats off. Resonate Recordings has been amazing to work with. If you have a podcast or you're thinking about starting a podcast, I knew I had a bunch of stuff I wanted to say, didn't really know how I was going to go about putting it into a podcast format, get it into an RSS feed, upload it to iTunes, all that stuff. And the owner of Resonate Recordings, Jacob, has really stepped up to the plate. Go ahead and mention Inside Out Empowerment when you talk to them and you'll get your first episode mixed and mastered for free. If you guys are looking to level up your life and be entertained in the process, go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss my weekly podcast. I'm highly responsive. Please, I'm going to leave the show notes below, complete with all the ways you can connect with me on Instagram at RevLabsPrez, on YouTube at Joshua Nussbaum. This is here for you guys. Please reach out, connect, like, comment, subscribe, ask me questions, tag me. I'm here for you. Let's tailor this bad boy and live an empowered life. Talk soon. Just watch me.